Lufthansa will acquire 19% of JetBlue. The Senate quickly says yay to pilots over 60. And a NIMBY lawsuit stalls the FAA's Northeast airspace overhaul. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, December 14th, 2007. One of America's most popular low-cost airlines will now carry a bit of German flavor. On Thursday, Deutsche Lufthansa AG announced it'll pay $300 million for a 19% stake in JetBlue Airways Corporation. This marks the first time Lufthansa has made a move into the U.S. airline industry. The Associated Press reports the deal gives JetBlue a welcome infusion of cash and gives Lufthansa control over a potential takeover down the line. JetBlue CEO Dave Barger called the deal, quote, a significant endorsement of JetBlue's franchise from one of the most respected leaders in global aviation, unquote. He adds that the deal, quote, reaffirms our belief in JetBlue's disciplined growth plan and will also improve our balance sheet and give us greater financial flexibility as we move into 2008, unquote. For economists, the deal is further proof European companies are looking toward the U.S. for investment, especially as the euro continues to strengthen against the dollar, giving those entities additional spending power in the U.S. market. In contrast to its leisurely pace dealing with FAA reauthorization, the U.S. Senate Wednesday jumped at the chance to join the House in upping the mandatory retirement age for U.S. airline pilots from 60 to 65. The Senate vote comes one day after the House approved Minnesota Congressman James Oberstar's Fair Treatment for Experienced Pilots Act, H.R. 4343, and it leaves only President Bush's signature remaining to bring U.S. policy on the matter into line with the rest of the world. The provisions of the bill are essentially the same as those found in the House's stalled FAA reauthorization proposal made in late summer. Details are available in the print version of our story on our website at aero-news.net. The FAA's plan to plunge ahead with airspace reorganization in the Northeast Corridor will apparently wait at least a few more days. The agency says it's decided to wait out a court decision in a challenge filed by Pennsylvania's Delaware County. The Philadelphia Inquirer reports that Delaware County and 11 other cities, counties, and coalitions from Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut have filed legal challenges to the airspace reorganization. The FAA has been working on the change for a decade in an effort to provide flights departing Philadelphia International and the major New York metro airports more options for departure paths. Those new paths would be a tool in the effort to reduce delays, but any new flight path in that part of the country goes over the homes of millions of NIMBYs. The various lawsuits are expected to eventually be rolled together into one, but this separate suit by Delaware County was filed in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit and claims the FAA violated the Clean Air Act in its process. There's no firm word on when the court will have a decision, but the FAA says it will wait for, quote, several days, unquote, to see. The Wall Street Journal reports Air China and Shanghai Airlines are the newest members of the Star Alliance, the global airline code-sharing network. The move gives both carriers greater access to markets outside the Chinese mainland and easier access for travelers flying to and from China. Air China chairman Li Jisheng commented, quote, by joining with 17 other leading airlines, Air China and Shanghai Airlines enhance their abilities to compete, creating for them a win-win situation. They are better placed to service their customers with higher value services, unquote. Formal adoption into the Star Alliance network, which also includes United, Singapore Airlines, and Lufthansa, also gives the two fledgling airlines additional credibility at a time when China is working to bolster its international image. In turn, the alliance fills a hole in its network over Asia. Carriers that are part of an alliance may sell seats on one another's aircraft and offer frequent flyer miles for trips on member airlines. Often, codeshare partners also share ticket counters and passenger lounges, helping them to trim costs. Up next on ANN, Congress formally recognizes the achievements of Barrington Irving. That nasty Midwest storm is now a nasty Northeast storm. And Boeing nails down another big order. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, You'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ-2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 14th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. The 23-year-old who enthralled thousands by flying his Columbia 350 around the world solo received national recognition Tuesday in the form of a resolution by the U.S. House of Representatives. Barrington Irving was formally recognized as the youngest person ever, as well as the first black person to fly around the world solo in a bill sponsored by Florida Congressman Alcee Hastings and Kendrick Meek. Meek told the Miami Herald, quote, "When the younger generation is looking for a role model and hero, they need to look no further than Barrington Irving. This young pilot proved that when you dream big dreams and work hard, the extraordinary is possible. I am honored to call Barrington Irving a constituent," unquote. As ANN reported, Irving began his 26,000-mile flight in March aboard Inspiration, a plane assembled by the former Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing Company from over $300,000 in components donated by a variety of aerospace companies. Supporters tracked Irving's progress on the three-month trip via his blog and an online flight tracker. Irving landed back at Opa-locka, Florida, on June 27th. Irving was also named one of the most powerful black people under age 40 in this month's issue of Black Enterprise magazine, sharing pages with Tiger Woods, Sean Diddy Combs, and Washington, D.C. Mayor Adrian Fenty. The fierce winter storm that pounded the Midwest earlier this week will bring the Northeast U.S. up to a foot of snow and is expected to cause trouble for airline passengers throughout the weekend. USA Today reports the storm stretched from Pennsylvania north into New England on Thursday. Snow was reported at several airports, including Logan International in Boston, Hartford's Bradley International, and T.G. Green in Providence, Rhode Island. Another weather system is expected to hit the region on Saturday, according to the National Weather Service. Anticipating flight delays, cancellations, and ornery passengers, JetBlue, Delta, and Continental announced on Thursday that they'll waive change fees and fare differences for passengers stuck in the storm or who change reservations to try to avoid the mess. Other airlines are expected to follow suit. Boeing and GE Commercial Aviation Services announced on Thursday a 55-airplane order that includes 53 737-800s and two Boeing 777-300 extended-range passenger jetliners. The order is valued at about $4.5 billion at list prices, includes an exercise of existing options, and was listed last week on the Boeing Orders and Deliveries website attributed to an unidentified customer. To date, 109 customers have placed orders for more than 4,300 next-generation 737s. Unfilled orders for the plane exceed 1,800, worth over $130 billion at list prices. The fuel-efficient 777-300ER is the world's largest long-range twin-engine jetliner, capable of carrying 365 passengers up to 7,930 nautical miles. The plane is powered by the GE90-115B, which GE says is the world's largest and most powerful jet engine. The order takes Boeing's year-to-date tally to a record 1,146 net orders. That handily beats Boeing's previous record of 1,044 set last year. But Boeing still trails European rival Airbus by almost 60 orders. Thanks to five NASA satellites stationed over the Northern Hemisphere, scientists now believe they know what causes the shimmering lights of the Aurora Borealis, or Northern Lights. AP reports new data from the Themis mission found the lights are caused by a stream of charged particles from the sun, flowing like an energy current along streams of magnetic fields connecting Earth's upper atmosphere to the sun. Principal investigator Vasilis Angelopoulos of the University of California at Los Angeles says that when those particles hit the jumbled magnetic fields in the atmosphere, the energy is abruptly released, causing the display of lights. The five microsatellites comprising the Time History of Events and Macroscale Interactions During Substorms mission were launched on February 17th. In March, the satellites recorded a two-hour series of northern lights over Alaska and Canada, allowing the on-orbit measurement of particle flow and magnetic fields. Angelopoulos says the storm that caused those auroras sped across the sky at 400 miles per minute and carried energy equivalent to a magnitude 5.5 earthquake. Quote, "Nature was very kind to us." Scientists hope next to record a geomagnetic storm in 2008 to resolve questions about when such storms are triggered. Still ahead, American Eagle struggles to make headway on Southwest's turf. An Air Force Reserve unit receives an honor months after it stands down. And the UN Secretary General says, do as I say, not as I do. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, December 14, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. The financial resurgence of the airlines in 2007 has largely been a story about what the industry calls load factor. Fewer seats, more demand, fuller planes, and less need to cut ticket prices. But in spots, there are still flights that have lots of empty seats. Among them are most American Eagle flights out of Dallas Love Field. Industry and media sources have calculated that those flights average 35 to 38% full. Or, as the Dallas Morning News observes, 18 people on a 50-seat regional jet is about enough for every passenger to have his own private row. Part of the problem for American Eagle is the dominance at Love Field of Southwest Airlines, which has 20 gates to American Eagle's 2. That disparity is a hangover from a law known as the Wright Amendment, a bit of market fixing by Congress in 1979, which limited routes available out of Love Field to protect Dallas-Fort Worth International. At the time, Southwest was based at Love Field and eventually grew to dominate it as the legacy carriers shunned the route limits. Now the Wright Amendment is set to expire in 2014, and those legacy carriers want more slots at Love Field as DFW grows ever more congested. So American Eagle will keep flying those two-thirds empty planes and hope that persistence and marketing can make headway against Southwest. American spokesman Tim Wagner admits it will be an uphill battle. Quote, "It's difficult competing against a carrier that has really been entrenched there for 30 years. Just like anybody competing against an airline with a fortress hub, a term people like to use, the entrenched carrier at Love Field has a large schedule and a large network, and that's what we're up against," unquote. The news was bittersweet for the 440th Airlift Control Flight to learn this month that it was named Air Mobility Command Mobile Command and Control Unit of the Year Air Reserve Component. You see, the unit stood down in June. Major General Frederick F. Ruggiero, Director of Air, Space, and Information Operations, noted, quote, "This dedicated Air Force Reserve unit extended America's global reach by processing more than 399 aircraft sorties worldwide. The 440th ALCF supported the safe delivery of 5,578 Department of Defense personnel and 21.7 million pounds of war material throughout the Northern and European commands. This exemplary unit can take pride in their selection as the best in AMC," unquote. In June, the 440th ALCF was placed into inactivated status due to realignment of the reserve airlift control units. Many of the ALCF airmen took new positions with the wing at Pope Air Force Base in North Carolina and the 934th Airlift Wing at Minneapolis Air Reserve Base in Minnesota. The 440th ALCF, which has a rich history of successful missions around the world, has been named AMC Mobile C2 Unit of the Year three times since 1996. Ban Ki-moon, Secretary General of the United Nations, gave a fiery speech on Wednesday before the climate change conference now underway in Bali, Indonesia, calling on world leaders to act immediately on climate change. But Sunday, he'll jump into a jet for an excursion to East Timor, Japan, then to New York to attend a concert dubbed Around the World in 80 Minutes, where he'll be the guest of honor. The Daily Mail reports the flight from Tokyo to New York adds 4,300 extra miles to his trip, flying east to west, that's the long way around, against prevailing winds, and generating tons of extra carbon emissions. Will Kim Moon take advantage of any of the carbon offset programs that he wants to impose on the rest of us when we fly? So far, no. And finally, please don't try this at home. The Associated Press reports a 64-year-old man was stopped by screeners as he changed planes at Nuremberg Airport on his trip home from a vacation in Egypt to Dresden. Due to the new regulations governing the quantity of liquid permitted in a carry-on, security told the man he'd have to either A, throw out his bottle of vodka, or B, pay to have his carry-on bag with the vodka inside checked. Well, the man opted for C, and chugged the entire liter right there in line. A short time later, he was being transported to a local clinic for treatment of a potentially life-threatening case of alcohol poisoning. Officials say the man should recover and be able to resume his travel in a few days. But if you see this guy at the airport this weekend and he has a bottle of vodka, try to stay ahead of him in line. And if he just walked out of the duty-free store with a liter of cologne, check your seat assignment. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we look back at one of 2007's aviation success stories, the creation of Plattsburgh International Airport in upstate New York. I'll talk with Gary Douglas, president of the Plattsburgh North Country Chamber of Commerce. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.